Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to this lecture on Christian Science entitled The Truth That Heals. Our lecturer, after a career in advertising and also in the theater, decided to devote his life to the healing ministry of Christian Science because it gave him peace, stability, and a better understanding of God. Part of this healing ministry is lecturing on Christian Science throughout the world as a member of the Christian Science Board of Lectureship. It gives me great pleasure to introduce to you a good friend and neighbor, Jules Cern of Scarsdale. Mr. Cern.
Thank you, Mr. Murray. Good evening. Perhaps some of you read about a shopkeeper in England who filled a fishbowl with clear water without putting anything else into the bowl, not even a fish. He placed the fishbowl in his shop window. Now, alongside the bowl, he put a small sign which read, "Transparent dragon fighting fish." Then he waited to see what would happen when people noticed the bowl of water and the sign. He didn't have to wait very long. In a short time, a crowd had gathered to stare at the fishbowl. Suddenly, a man shouted, "Look, the fish are fighting." Another exclaimed, "You can see the ripples on the water." Then others agreed that they could see the fighting fish also. Some of them went into the shop to ask the price of the transparent dragon fighting fish. At first, the startled shopkeeper told the inquirers that the fish were not for sale. But some of them were so insistent upon buying the non-existent fish, he finally decided to tell them the truth. He explained that he had simply put the bowl of water and the sign in the window to attract attention to his shop. Well, much to his surprise, when he told them the truth, they didn't like it at all. It seemed to be an insult to their intelligence to be told that what they thought they saw with their own eyes didn't even exist. It was not easy for them to accept the fact that they were only seeing their own thoughts. They were actually insistent upon buying their own mental misconceptions. In a similar way, mankind seems to observe the world like a fishbowl and is positive that it's full of fighting mortals, fighting for health, fighting for wealth, fighting for happiness, or fighting each other. It has been looking at a material world and thinking that it sees creation. It has fixed its gaze upon physicality and is convinced that it sees man's identity. Mankind is apparently unaware that it's only seeing its own thoughts. It has insisted upon buying its own mental misconceptions. And like those who resisted the plain truth about the fishbowl in the shop window, most of mankind has resisted the divine truth about God, man, and the universe. Not because divine truth is complicated, but only because it has not been clearly understood. Well, by providing the clear understanding of divine truth, Christian Science frees us from mental misconceptions and their complications. So let's see what the clear understanding of divine truth is and what it reveals about God, man, and the universe. The major premise of Christian Science is that God is all, absolutely all. Well, for God to be all, everywhere, every moment, then God must be and is infinite spirit. This means that infinite spirit fills all space and all place. As recorded in the Bible, "Do not I fill heaven and earth," saith the Lord. This does not mean that God, infinite spirit, is in a physical sky above or in a material earth below. That would imply pantheism, the infusion of God's spirit into matter. Nor does it mean that infinite spirit is on, around, or above a material heaven and earth. This would imply dualism, the coexistence of spirit and matter. This would make God less than all. So the true meaning of spirit's infinity is that right where a physical sky and material earth are believed to be, right there, infinite divine spirit exists exclusively. So we see that infinite spirit does not encompass matter, nor is it encompassed by matter. Why, God's spirit is all, right now, right here, everywhere, instead of matter. Now, even though infinite spirit does not include matter, this does not mean that infinite spirit is a vast, dull, empty vacuum. Why, infinite spirit is infinite mind, infinite love, infinite life, infinite truth, infinite soul, infinite principle. So we see that infinite spirit does not exist in a realm apart from matter, nor in a realm with matter. Why, God's spirit constitutes the only realm there is, right now, right here, everywhere, without matter. The discoverer and founder of Christian Science, Mary Baker Eddy, states it in these words in her inspired writings, in her inspired textbook, Science and Health, with key to the scriptures. She says, "The scriptures imply that God is all in all. He fills all space, and it is impossible to conceive of such omnipresence and individuality except as infinite spirit or mind. Hence, all is spirit and spiritual." All is spirit and spiritual. Radical, you say? Yes, of course. Why, infinite truth is radical. If it compromised with falsity, it would cease to be infinite truth. It would cease to be either helpful or reliable. Why, its being so radical is what makes it so practical. It saves us from our own mental misconception that man and the universe are material. Well, here one might protest and say, "Now, wait a minute. Hold everything right there. If I were the only one who believed that man and the universe are material, I might accept what you say. But I'm not the only one. Practically everyone else believes it too. Surely all of us can't be wrong." Well, this is substantially the same thing that people said when so many believed the world was flat. Surely all of us can't be wrong. But they were. All of them. A flat world never was in creation. It never was really anywhere. It was only in the thought of the ones believing it. But believing never made it true, regardless of how many believed it. Let's have another look at that fishbowl in the shop window. The people outside the shop window believed the shopkeeper had put transparent dragon-fighting fish into the fishbowl. But wasn't it only their own deluded thinking that put those fish into the fishbowl? But they never were really in the fishbowl. They never were really anywhere. They were only in the thought of the ones believing them to be there. The mere fact that practically everyone at the shop window believed there was such a thing as a transparent dragon-fighting fish did not make it true. So we might be inclined to believe that God has put a material man and material universe into creation. But it's only our own deluded thinking that puts a material man or material universe into creation. But they never are really in creation. They never are really anywhere. They're only in the thought of the one believing them to be there. The mere fact that practically everyone else believes there's such a thing as a material man or material universe does not make it true. Why? Because the allness of God, the allness of Spirit, leaves no space for an opposite of itself called matter in any form. Now, to some of you, the allness of Spirit might seem to imply the annihilation of man and the universe. On the contrary, the allness of Spirit does not annihilate man, it perpetuates man. The allness of Spirit does not annihilate the universe, it's the very substance of the universe. When we're aware of the absolute allness of Spirit, the only thing that is annihilated is our own deluded thinking that man and the universe are material. This does not deprive us of anything. For instance, when the shopkeeper told the would-be customers that there was no such thing as a transparent dragon-fighting fish, why, this truth did not deprive them of fish. It simply saved them from their own mental misconception of fish. So when we learn the divine truth that there's no such thing as a material man or material universe, why, this divine truth does not deprive us of man and the universe. It simply saves us from our own mental misconception of existence. This does not in any way eliminate identity. It illuminates identity. It spiritualizes our concept of identity. However, the truth of being does not spiritualize physicality. It spiritualizes the thought which believes there's physicality. It spiritualizes the thought which believes identity to be physical. Well, if identity is not physical, then what is it? The Bible makes it so clear. In the first chapter of Genesis, we read, God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Now, this statement is nothing new. However, when we bear in thought that God is infinite spirit, all, then this passage makes it so plain that spirit created man in spirit's own image. There's nothing mortal or physical about God, so there can be nothing mortal or physical about the image of God. The image cannot be unlike the original. Otherwise, it wouldn't be an image. If a mortal were the image of God, this would mean that God was the original mortal, even an infinite mortal. And if every mortal looked like God, then every mortal would look alike. Every mortal would look alike. If you think the world is confused now, accordingly, man's identity is not synonymous with physicality. It's synonymous with spiritual identity and spiritual individuality. This does not extinguish man's identity, it distinguishes it. For instance, a ray of sunlight is not extinguished by the sun. It is distinguished as being an individual manifestation of the sun. So man's identity is not extinguished by the allness of infinite spirit. It is distinguished as being an individual spiritual manifestation of infinite spirit. Not one element of man's identity is extinguished by the allness of infinite perfect life. It is distinguished as being an individual perfect spiritual image of the one perfect life, God. This is the truth, the divine truth of all identity. Yours, everyone's. It's the truth that heals. Now one might say, well, suppose I accept this truth. What good will it do in my contact with others who don't know anything about it? Here's a very simple but actual example. A husband and wife were driving a rented car in a foreign city. As they approached the hotel where they were to stay, they started looking for the automobile entrance. They were moving along very slowly. Suddenly, they heard a loud, impatient sounding of a horn behind them. Realizing that they were delaying the car behind, they moved a little faster. And as they turned the corner and approached the other side of the hotel, they saw several automobile entrances. But finding the right one wasn't easy. So they were forced to slow down again. And once more came the loud, impatient sounding of the horn behind. They moved over as much as possible to permit the car to pass in the heavy traffic. And as it pulled abreast of them, two very angry-looking young men made threatening gestures at them. Now, if this had occurred in the days before the husband became a student of Christian Science, he might have returned the compliments. However, at that moment, the husband and wife, both of whom were students of Christian Science, affirmed the truth of being, the allness and omnipresence of divine mind and the never presence of any other mind. They thank God that right where hatred and animosity seem to be, that very place and all place are already filled exclusively with all loving divine mind and its ideas. As the cars continued to move along abreast of each other, the husband was led to lower the window on his side of the car. He gestured to the young men to lower their window also. As they did so, somewhat puzzled, the husband said to them, "Have you ever been a stranger in a city and didn't know where to go? We're looking for the automobile entrance to this hotel." He had hardly finished speaking when the young men pulled ahead, stopped their car, got out, held up traffic, and directed them to the proper entrance. Apparently, those two young men knew very little, if anything, about divine truth. But the husband and wife certainly proved that their understanding of truth was sufficient to heal a discordant situation involving others. In the final analysis, they were only dealing with their own thoughts. They had observed the fishbowl of the world and momentarily believed that it contained at least two not so transparent fighting angry mortals. They had also believed that it contained at least two jeopardized mortals. So the question is, what had to be dealt with? The false beliefs of other mortals, or their own false beliefs that there are any mortals? Why, God made all that was made, including His own spiritual likeness. But He never made an unlikeness of Himself. And anything seeming to be a mortal is an unlikeness of God, infinite spirit. So anything seeming to be hatred or animosity is an unlikeness of God, divine love. When we flood our thought with the allness of God, the allness of divine love, we eliminate the belief that there's anything unlike love called hatred or anything else. And when we eliminate the belief of hatred, we eliminate the experience. But if we're quick enough and thorough enough to eliminate the belief of hatred, we avoid the experience. Mrs. Eddy assures us of this. In Science and Health, she writes, "Clad in the panoply of love, human hatred cannot reach you." Clad in the panoply of love, human hatred cannot reach you. Now, to be clad in the panoply of love does not mean to be surrounded by divine love right here and protected from hatred out there. Why, that would imply that divine love is less than all. So to be clad in the panoply of love is to be aware of the allness of love here, there, and everywhere. Perhaps some of you have noticed how the writings of Mary Baker Eddy have been quoted with such complete acceptance. There's a valid reason for this. Results. A prayerful study of her writings not only brings harmony and healing into our own experience, but it makes it possible for us to help and heal others. Well, with such results, is it any wonder that her writings are accepted with such complete trust? These writings are not a compilation of one woman's human opinions about God, man, and the universe. They're the divine revelations. The divine revelations which came to Mrs. Eddy when she relinquished all human opinions. She was near death when she turned to the Bible for some ray of hope. It was not unusual for Mrs. Eddy to study the Bible. She had done so since childhood. Her writings are punctuated with her great reverence for the Scriptures. The Holy Bible was her textbook. Well, now in her struggle for survival, it was only natural for Mrs. Eddy to turn to the Bible. And as she read the familiar account of Jesus healing a man of palsy, she had no idea that it was to result in the discovery of anything unusual. But this time, as she read it, a glimmer of light. Just a glimpse of the light of divine truth, revealing God as infinite spirit. And infinite spirit as infinite life, as all the life there is, suddenly illuminated her thought. And just as suddenly, she was healed. Why was she healed? As she ultimately discovered, when thought is spiritually harmonized, then what is thought to be physicality is humanly harmonized. Following her healing, Mrs. Eddy did everything possible to make it clear that the healing power of truth is of God. Of God, not of a person. Light may come through a window, but it never comes from the window. The window is not the origin of the light, it's simply the transparency through which the light comes. So Mrs. Eddy is loved and appreciated as being the transparency, the window through which the light of divine truth has been fully revealed. But she didn't originate this light of divine truth. Columbus didn't originate America. It was here all the time. He simply discovered it. So Mrs. Eddy didn't originate the light of divine truth. It was here and everywhere, all the time, and always will be. She simply discovered this light of divine truth in its entirety. Now, when one is accustomed to darkness, the turning on of light may seem blinding at first. But that's no reason to turn off the light. If we persist with the light in a similar way, what appears to be the solid screen of matter is only a mental screen. It's only the darkness of thought that there is matter. It's only the darkness of thought that there's something unlike or besides God. It seems to hide the true view of existence, except when the light of divine truth is applied to thought. When the light of divine truth is applied to thought, then we see through the darkness of that mental scrim of materiality and its star performers, physical bodies, material objects, and the rest of the cast of sin, disease, and death. when the light of divine truth is applied to thought, it reveals what is really going on. Infinite spirit, perfect life, the only mind, ever-present love, and God's completely spiritual, perfect creation. In other words, the light of divine truth reveals God's allness. Why, God's allness is not going on behind nor in anything material or anything else. It is all. Right now. Right here. Everywhere. Instead of anything material. And by the same token, man's identity is not going on behind nor in anything physical. It's completely spiritual, like God. Completely perfect, like God. Always like God, instead of anything physical. Now, one might say it sounds very nice to say that man is spiritual and perfect. But what good will it do in a case of sickness, where he seems to be very physical and imperfect? Perhaps the experience of a friend of mine will answer the question. He was on a business trip, hundreds of miles from home. While in his hotel room, he was suddenly seized with unbearable kidney pains. Now, even though he was a student of Christian Science, the suffering was so intense, it was very difficult for him to think clearly. So immediately he called a Christian Science practitioner by long-distance telephone. Now, one might wonder how anyone can heal someone else who is in physical agony when they're hundreds of miles apart. To put it simply, Christian Science treatment is not one human mind trying to help or control another human mind, whether near or far. Christian Science healing rests entirely upon the divine truth that God is the only mind, ever-present and omnipresent. Neither physical nearness nor physical distance is any factor in God's omnipresence and perfection. The Bible states it so beautifully in these words. Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can any hide himself in secret places, that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Oh, we may be sure there's no distance between God and man. Whatever is true about God and man right here is true about God and man out there. Mrs. Eddy states it in these words in Science and Health, where she says, God is at once the center and circumference of being. Think of it. God, infinite spirit, perfect life, is the boundless center and boundless circumference of all existence. In other words, the center of God and the circumference of God are one. One unlimited omnipresence of perfect life. Why, God, infinite spirit, is inseparable from his spiritual image, man. Since man is always the image of infinite spirit, then what appears to be The solid screen of physicality is only a mental scrim, a mental misconception of man's identity. So what appears to be the solid screen of diseased physicality is likewise a mental scrim, a mental misconception of man's condition. Disease is never a physical condition, but always a mental misconception. Why? Because what is thought to be a physical body is exactly that, a thought, a false thought about man's identity. So what is thought to be a diseased physical body is likewise a false thought about man's condition, a false thought about a false thought. Well, there's no such thing as an incurable thought. So thank God there can be no such thing as an incurable disease. But be even more grateful. There can be no such thing as disease, curable or incurable. Why? Because there can be no such thing as an unlikeness of God, perfect life. So no one suffers from an unlikeness of God, called disease, or anything else. But he might seem to suffer from believing there's an unlikeness of God, called disease, or anything else, but he would never suffer from its being, but only from his believing. No one suffers mathematically from 2 times 2 being 5, although the 5 might be all that is visible. He would never suffer from its being 5, but only from his believing. So no one suffers from man being physical or being sick physicality. He only suffers from believing it. But the divine truth of being is the only being. Now, when the practitioner received the long distance call to heal the man of kidney pains, he immediately realized that where God is, there's perfect life. And there's no place where God is not. So wherever man is, he is in life's omnipresent perfection, never in physicality. There's nothing physical, organic, nor structural about God, so there can be nothing physical, organic, nor structural about God's image, his perfect likeness. There's nothing wrong with God, so there can be nothing wrong with life, which is God, nor with life's image, which is identity, called man. While life's perfection assures man's perfection, right now, right here, quicker than instantaneously, it's always been. My friend was completely healed that same day. His distance from the practitioner had been no obstacle. The words and works of Christ Jesus confirm this. Jesus healed many whom he had never seen and at some distances. His entire mission was to change the basis of thought from matter to spirit, from material limitations to unlimited spiritual substance, from physical human concepts of identity to spiritual divine concepts of identity. Why, Jesus proved that when we eliminate the belief that identity is physical, unlike God, we eliminate the very basis of hatred, prejudice, injustice, vicious criticism, jealousy, envy, fear, and so on. Those are the culprits that take the fun out of life, that spoil friendships, that destroy the affections and demoralize incentives. Whereas the wholehearted acceptance of man's real identity, his only identity as being God's completely spiritual, perfect image, why, this divine truth provides real fun, solidifies the affections, broadens friendships, and sponsors useful, fruitful activities. Mrs. Eddy tells us exactly how this is achieved right now. In miscellaneous writing, she says, self-renunciation of all that constitutes a so-called material man, and the acknowledgement and achievement of his spiritual identity as the child of God, is science that opens the very floodgates of heaven, whence good flows into every avenue of being, cleansing mortals of all uncleanness, destroying all suffering, and demonstrating the true image and likeness. Self-renunciation of all that constitutes a so-called material man. That's the key to demonstrating harmony and healing. Now, it's one thing to mentally let go of all that constitutes a so-called material man if he seems to be a stranger or even a friend. But to mentally relinquish a material concept of a loved one seems to be quite a challenge. And yet, a loved one is just as entitled to be seen as God's completely spiritual, perfect image as anyone else. And God's completely spiritual, perfect image certainly is not a so-called material man. A number of years ago, a student of Christian Science had to face this issue. His wife had been suffering from a severe illness, which had reduced her to extreme weakness. Since they were both students of Christian Science, he had tried with all the spiritual understanding he had to heal her, but no improvement was evident. Oh, he had affirmed the allness and perfection of God. He had acknowledged that God is the only life and that all identity is like this one perfect life. He had also declared that God is the only mind, and there is no other mind to interrupt the harmony and perfection of mind's idea, man. He knew this to be the truth. He had seen it work in times past. Then why not now? Why not now? When mortal discards do not respond to affirmations of truth, it means that somewhere along the line of thought, we're still believing something we shouldn't. It means we're still believing there's some mind, some power, some law, some quality, some condition, or someone unlike or besides God. It means it's time to examine thought. It's somewhat like a woman with her handbag. She reaches into it for one specific item, but pulls out one thing after another, except what she's looking for. Finally, she turns the bag upside down and empties the contents on the table or the bed. Ultimately, she finds what she's looking for. But in the process, she discovers many useless things she didn't even know she was carrying around. Why, what she was looking for was there all the time. But the useless things were obstructing it. Similarly, if we're not getting the right results from the contents of our thought, it means it's time we took a thorough look at what we've been carrying around in it. We too might discover many useless things, many useless qualities of thought, which we didn't even know were there. Or maybe we did know they were there, but couldn't be bothered to remove these undesirable obstructions. But there are no obstructions in truth's allness. So there must be no obstructions in our acceptance of truth's allness. If we work with truth and with nothing else, it works with us and for us. Christ Jesus affirmed this when he said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Just the truth, nothing else. Now back to the husband. He reasoned that his knowing of the divine truth had resulted in the healings of others, many others. Then why not his wife? Ah, yes, his wife, his loved one. Well, then he had to face the issue, which evidently he had been dodging. Up to that moment, he had not wanted to mentally let go of his human concept of his wife's identity. But then he was reminded of these words of Mrs. Eddy's, also in miscellaneous writings, where she says, "If one asks me, is my concept of you right? I reply, the human concept is always imperfect. Relinquish your human concept of me or of anyone and find the divine, and you have gained the right one, and never until then." The husband knew that it was vital for him to obey this admonition because the belief that identity originates as a human concept is the very basis of the belief that it disintegrates as a human concept. Clearly, the belief that there's good matter is the whole foundation of the belief that there's bad matter. Why, any human concept, whether it appears to be good or bad, sick or well, dead or alive, is only a mental scrim a mental misconception. It's an illusion. It's an illusion that man's identity is physical in one form or another. It's an illusion that man's identity is unlike God, spirit, perfect life. So the husband finally realized that his human concept of his wife's identity was his own illusion. His own illusion. Oh, we might believe the human concept is out there, but it's being believed here. Oh, we might believe it's being believed out there, but it's being believed here that it's being believed out there. The darkness of his own mental scrim had been hiding the true view of his wife's identity. But now the light of spirit's allness and his wife's all spiritual identity, her only identity, had eliminated the darkness of that mental scrim. He saw more clearly than he ever had that man's identity has never slipped from its original spiritual perfection into human imperfection. So he thanked God anew for being infinite life, perfect life, unweakened life, unchallenged life, all harmonious life, eternal life, the only life, including life's perfect spiritual image, identity, called man. Shortly after this spiritual enlightenment, the husband was overjoyed to see his wife get out of bed, radiating happiness, animation, freedom. The healing was complete. It should be understandable why there's no doubt in the thought of that couple that the truth of being is not just a promise for the future. It's the premise of the present. It is indeed the truth that heals. So whenever we're tempted to observe the fishbowl of the world, and something tries to tell us that it's full of fighting mortals, fighting for health, fighting for wealth, fighting for happiness, or fighting each other, we can flood the darkness of that mental scrim of materiality with the light of God's allness. And we may rest assured that we're neither ignoring nor neglecting what appeared to be individual or world problems. We're applying the all-powerful light of truth, which is fully capable. Why, it's all that is capable of dispelling the darkness of every mental scrim. In other words, every false concept of God, man, or the universe. This is epitomized in Science and Health, where Mrs. Eddy writes, "Divine science rolls back the clouds of error with the light of truth and lifts the curtain on man as never born and as never dying, but as coexistent with his Creator." Never born never dying, but coexistent with his Creator. This is the truth, the divine truth of all identity. All identity, yours, everyone's. It's the truth that heals. Stick to it. You've been a wonderful audience. God bless you. Thank you.